Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no-facts, all-feelings wrestling podcast. I am Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Guys, we saw bodies this week. bodies, baby.
Juicy bodies.
We saw bodies.
They weren't bad bodies at all.
Oh, they were good.
They hadn't Brian Caged.
They hadn't become desiccated. I didn't even see Stuart Little, to be honest. A little bit in that one shot, but... they were great bodies. Before we discuss those bodies, we're just going to quickly let you know or remind you, because our beloved producer Marjorie told you last week, there will be no episode of this podcast coming out later this week on November 27th. We will be back on your feeds on December 4th. So I think that means that we can go hog wild today. And if you don't like a long podcast, you can always split this one in two. You can always listen to half of it and listen to the other half later in the week.
Got to give you your money's worth.
Yeah, that's a free idea. That's the Tony Khan way. He says, come on, more is always better. We had the Full Gear pay-per-view yesterday. We did see the Elite. Before we talk about them, any like feelings that you had going into the pay-per-view, like what were you excited about, worried about, etc.?
I was pretty glad that MJF didn't have like a huge weird tantrum right before. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was huge.
Didn't think to worry about that, but that's a great point. Yeah.
I would say it was like a pretty uneventful ramp up, which, you know, I appreciated. I really needed.
That was nice. Yeah.
I do think they did kind of a bad job selling the pay-per-view though, because on Saturday I was like, God, I can't believe I have to watch like 5 hours of wrestling tonight. Like I had a very bad attitude about it, even though I was like excited to see the juicy bods and everything. But
I don't know if I think they did a bad job selling it, or if it's like there were just a lot of storylines in this cycle where I didn't super enjoy them, but then I'm glad that I did mostly enjoy what happened at the pay-per-view, but I'm not really sure I think they could have done anything different to make me
nothing ramping up to the pay-per-view was interesting enough to make me want to watch the pay-per-view, which includes like the whole cycle basically for me. Like it's not just like they did a bad promo for it, it's like all their storylines suck. So
yeah, I guess I understand what you're saying. I'm just like, I don't know, like, could they have had totally different storylines? Sure. But then they wouldn't have had these matches. So it's kind of like, I don't know what you do. Like, the matches turned out good, but the storylines weren't.
Yeah.
I think I had, like, a slightly different reaction where I felt that way, like, as of Tuesday. Like, I was like, not interested in this pay-per-view. I was like not mad that my friend Sarah that I usually watch with is going to a Friendsgiving, and I was kind of like, that's all right, like I'll have a very very low-key pay-per-view. And then for some reason I really enjoyed Dynamite, and I was like, I'm excited for a little pay-per-view. I'm gonna have some fun.
Wow,
let's have some fun. This beat is sick. I took a ride on a disco stick for sure. And then so coming out of the night, it sounds like everybody was kind of like, I had pay-per-view fun. Yeah,
wow.
I had a great time.
That was the first time in a very long time that I was like, that was just a feel good AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know,
I
like
think maybe
it was just overall enjoyable. Like, when's the last time though you've had that where you're just like finish it and you're like, what a good time.
Yeah.
Every weekend before the scrub. I had this experience with like the last, like this pay-per-view and then like the last two, like since Forbidden Door, like I've been like, oh, I don't want to watch this, and then like had a great time at the actual pay-per-view. So I feel like they're putting together like fun shows for the pay-per-view, and they really, hopefully this is like a reboot so that like the Dynamite situation is going to be a little bit better, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I did love Forbidden Door, so probably Forbidden Door was the last one for me, but I just missed all out.
I had a great time at the pay-per-view, but I was not excited for it going into
the I don't think we loved All Out. We just thought it was aggressively normal compared to how bad the Fallout was. Like, literally nothing that happened in that pay-per-view justified how horrible this whole cycle has been.
Well,
it was not that pay-per-view's fault for sure.
Hey guys, let's not dwell, not today, not on Rex Manning Day. We're talking about the bodies, baby. Let's get into the bodies. The Elite were back. So we had on Dynamite, Death Triangle fought AR Fox in Top Flight. This is a big, like, banger, bouncy boy match. I thought it was extremely fun to watch. And then it was afterwards, right, that Pac was like, we must have transparency about who we will, which was very funny, about who we will be fighting.
And I kind of agreed with him. I was like, absolutely. He's right to say it. He's right. We need transparency. This was essentially what Dave Meltzer was yelling about on his podcast. Right. Like,
absolutely. I think it was a shout out to Dave. Yes.
Yeah.
Dave,
Tony,
Dave
you
said,
have to tell us.
We must right. have transparency. And then we got the graphic saying that Death Triangle would be fighting the Elite at Full Gear. And at the time, I felt a little bit like I was like, yes, as we knew, like this is a yeah. letdown. I want to see their juicy bodies. But then at Full Gear, well, not necessarily, but so they were the second match. We had JB Luchasaurus and then we had the Elite. They did their big, they got Carry On My Wayward Son for the pay-per-view. They did a big pose like that. It was a big lights out, wait for the moment. They did their big pose.
They did the dorkiest so possible good. Intro video.
It was crazy.
We are the gears. We are the gears that we never wear down.
Like the sons of the past and the fathers of the future. And there was like misplaced commas. I feel like there were typos throughout.
And like something about the cadence was like, we are the witches that you're.
Absolutely.
Mothers couldn't burn or whatever.
Absolutely wise. We are the witches that CM Punk could not burn. And we're it back, baby.
So I was so delighted by it, but it was so stupid.
So stupid.
It was great. They came out, they did a big Kansas sing along. I mean, Matt Jackson singing.
I get so mad that he does not drink, because when he was absolutely losing it, singing with his heart out, I was like, the fact that I can't ever go to drunk karaoke with that man is infuriating.
I know.
None of those three guys drink, and this is what they're doing is just very like...
I did show, I showed a clip, I guess maybe it was that intro clip to my friend Anna today, and she was like, they are doing coke, and I was like, baby, they are not, they are straight edge, they are doing nothing, they're high on life.
Coke, baby.
And I do think they were high on life and getting to wrestle, because that was the vibe of the whole match, especially for Nick Jackson, was like, when I don't wrestle, I become deranged in the brain, and I'm not well, and I need to wrestle, and now I'm wrestling, and I'm doing so much better.
It did make me a little bit wish that he had gotten, like, his first, like, if he had done the Dynamite match with Darius, because I just feel like if Darius Martin also had that energy, they could really fed up on each other, where it was just nonstop, I no longer respect gravity, I've been pent up.
Absolutely, they would have just been like, leapfrogging each other for an hour, just like, this is fun.
The physical energy of being so happy to be back was just so visceral. It was crazy.
It was amazing. Their bodies looked great. We said that. I think
Kenny's
they looked,
tits looked great.
Kind of pretty much how we left them, but Kenny did look rejuvenated. Like, I do think he looked fresh. He looked ready to fight. He
maybe
did
it was
fight.
Good to have a couple months more to heal up or whatever his deal is. So,
Ian's like, I think Tony should have done this regardless of whether there was a brawl out. I think that Kenny should
not
never have
come
back
saying.
To us, actually.
Ian says, I'm pro-suspension.
Suspend them longer. Ian's like, give him another couple years. Let's see how he looks.
Right. Put him in a little wine cellar. Let him age a little.
A wine cellar.
I do think if you're looking on the bright side, it's nice that he got some more time to rest. He definitely looked spry and sexy. I mean, Kenny, I kiss you on the mouth if you want to. If do you
his
consent?
Hair had reached his hair had reached new levels of crazy, I think.
It looks like it's on the verge of matting. I mean, he's at the point where if he wanted to have the beautiful curls that he once had, he would have to shave his head. He would have to get rid of that and start from scratch. And I don't think he will do that. Or he'd have to make.
I didn't really love the image in my mind, but I just pictured Kenny with a shaved head. No, I didn't.
I didn't
really love that.
I don't think he would look good, but I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll do a hair versus hair match. Oh my God! You know what? How scared would you be during a hair versus hair match with Kenny and Hangman? I wouldn't even know what to root for.
That'd be horrible. Hangman should never do a hair match. I can take the stress. Oh my God.
As you were talking, I was like, oh, maybe that'll be one of the seven series with
Oh God.
No, I was gonna say one of the seven with
you wouldn't even threaten that,
No, I wouldn't. And I don't Surely Matt would never put himself in that position.
No. No.
Because his hair looked great.
Not enough money.
You say that
world.
Like, Matt, promise me, you'd never do it.
I'm like, show me your hands so I know you're not crossing your fingers behind your back. It was a great match with Death Triangle. Agreed?
Yeah.
Oh, imagine if we were like, meh, disappointing. No, of course it was the best thing in the world.
I mean, they just go so hard. I saw a couple of people complaining about like some of their goofy spots, but they were very funny complaints where people would be like, I mean, what can you say? Like, yes, the match was a banger, but there were a few spots like this. And it's like, you agree the match was a banger. What do you want?
I wish they had like built the match up a little bit more, like, which is with a pre-tape, like, and it's partly like being disappointed I didn't see their bodies before, but I think it would have been good if they had been like, we got our titles stripped, like said something about it ahead of time, just so they were like, I mean, there were stakes and like, obviously I had a great time and I'm not really complaining, but I just think like it might've been good to have a little more selling of it, a little more build up.
I'm kind of like on the fence because like as of before the pay-per-view, I was like, I think it's pretty flat. Like, I think it's pretty disappointing. Like, I don't think the packages ended up really working. Mm-hmm. It wasn't enough. It wasn't big enough. But then I really did get swept away with the excitement of finally seeing them. So I was like, I don't know. I guess the edging did sort of work on me.
I have to say, I think ultimately it worked. But I will agree that no one ever addressed this is why they don't have the belts anymore. Yeah. Like, they didn't even come up with a fake explanation for why they don't. They were just like, and they were the champs and then they weren't. And that is that. And I do think the whole thing was operating on the understanding that it's like you're watching and you've been on Twitter, so you know what we're saying here. And that works to a degree, but I think they could have just come up with something that they would explicitly say. Yeah. But ultimately, yes, I the edging paid off because when I saw their bodies, I was like, of course you couldn't have shown me these bodies before the pay-per-view, before you could have your big Kansas Carry On My Wayward Son moment. No, I understand. You had to wait, and that you were right to wait. So I think while your mileage may vary, nothing went incredibly wrong. Some of us feel it could have gone a little better. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. God love them. And then, so they lost because of more Pac Hammer stuff. Pac just entreated Fenix to use the hammer. Fenix gave in. They did end up winning kind of like as a result of that. And Fenix clearly immediately felt quite bad. He didn't do good. And then later in the pay-per-view, we got the announcement that they are going to be doing a best of seven series, Death Triangle and the Elite, with the dates all planned out through January 11th. And I think that's the LA show, or it's California. Yeah. So thoughts on that?
I'm thrilled. I'm like one of those things where it's like, the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks have like, I don't think they've ever put on a bad match.
No.
And so this is just like, for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to be happy. Like, that's cool. That's going to be nice.
Not 7 weeks in a row because they're going to Japan. And
that's right. They're going, at least Kenny is definitely scheduled for Wrestle Kingdom. I think there's some suspicions that perhaps the Bucks will be there too.
Which, quick sidebar, Kenny calling Will Ospreay Pandemic Will.
I know.
It's delightful. That whole video,
you are the virus. that whole promo, I was like, Kenny, you are the goat. You're insane. And it is because you know that you're an anime villain. He was so good. But I'm very excited. I think they love wrestling each other so much. I think that like there are a lot of different ways it could go. I mean, like, I think ultimately the Elite will win. That is my prediction.
bold of you to say.
There's a lot of different ways they could approach it. And I actually liked that they didn't win at the pay-per-view because I love the match so much. And then I was like, I know we say a lot of times like, oh, he needs it or he doesn't need it about the belts. But when I say it, I just mean like they know how to be hungry when they don't have the belts. Like, they're never going to not have a storyline. They're never going to not be like gunning for something. So I just don't worry about it. And now I'm double not worried about it because they're going to have matches that thrill them. yeah. through the new year.
I definitely had a reaction because, like, my Sarah said to me, we got into a huge fight on Wednesday where she was like, I think Death Triangle should retain. And my, like, head spun around backwards and I, like, screamed and was like, what? And it was fine. I was just really mad about it. And then, like, halfway through the match, I was like, I don't care if they win or not. They don't need to. This match yeah. slaps no matter what. And then when they lost, I was like, yeah, no. It's, and that was before I knew that there was a number of... that was, wasn't going to be the last one.
Yeah.
Like, they just, yeah. they just, it, the, none of the rules apply to them.
No. And well, they just got such a gratifying crowd reaction. Oh. I mean, it's like the crowd was crazy for that match.
I was so happy because, like, I guess Reddit was, like, concerned trolling about whether they were going to get booed on the return. And then, like, you know, are they going to be heels? Are they going to be faces? Just be, like, they might be forced into being heels because of the booing, blah, blah. And then, like, when Colt Cabana had his good reaction, I was like, I think it's going to be fine. But even I was surprised at how big that pop was. Like, yeah. they like the crowd started screaming the moments the lights went out. Like, mm-hmm. they were, that was really gratifying.
Yeah. yeah. It's surprising. You wouldn't think that the fans of All Elite Wrestling would be fans of the Elite, but
I think, you know, you learn something every day.
Didn't bank on it, yeah. Well, it's so much more fun to have, like, a long feud not just have them get the belts right back, because, like, if we were just like, yeah, we're just going to pretend none of that ever happened, like, after the fall we've had, like, I think that would be sort of unsatisfying in a way. So, yeah. And it's very funny how everyone on Twitter has been, like, mad that they're gonna get the belts back before it had happened, like, and it hadn't happened yet. Like,
yeah,
well, it was just like there was a lot of crazy jumps of logic where they were like, the Elite, like, are going to overshadow MJF, and it was like, yeah, well, they haven't That's been on crazy. The show, like, they haven't, yeah. they've had two or three 15 second promo packages.
It's also MJF, very funny to be, like, defensive of MJF after he right. ruined Wardlow's moment, so whatever. But
and
yeah,
it's also like being like, I'm just worried that Amazon's going to be hurt in this quarter. Like, MJF's right, fine. Yeah. Like,
I don't know if I can shop from small businesses this Christmas. What will happen to Amazon? Not that the Elite are a small business. Yeah, no, I agree. Although I will say, I'm like, yeah, they definitely did overshadow MJF for me, and I love that for me, and that's my right. It's my right to care more about this than I did about MJF. So. Yeah. But yeah, MJF got his big moment. I'm just excited. I'm just happy. They just did such a good match, and they looked so enthusiastic, and they were crazy.
They were crazy. The I'll see you in hell spot.
I was like, oh my God. So he funny. Ate his Wheaties. Nick Jackson doing that, like, the guy putting the cup in his face, and Nick just, like, taking it and going, is this diet? And then drinking from it. There was a 1.2 after he did one of those big flips off onto everybody on the outside, where he was just, like, lying there grinning to himself, and I was like, this man is derailed. I mean, he is out of his mind. He needs this so bad.
And it's so funny because I think if you suspended Chuck Taylor for 6 months, he'd be like, fuck yes. This is everything, like, to me.
It's called me time.
These men were clearly falling apart.
Oh, happy. Anything else you want to say before we move on? But thank God we'll be back. We'll be back talking about the Elite and their bodies.
We just found out right before recording that BTE is coming back as well.
Very exciting. I just need Hangman to come back because, like, I was very... Hangman and Kenny facing off and All Out was, like, the most electrifying moment for me. So yeah. I really hope he gets back soon.
I do think that in the course of this whole thing with Death Triangle, they will have, if it's the right time to use them, lots of opportunities where they could bring back Adam Cole, where they could bring back Hangman. It'll be interesting to see, like, what they do to set up other storylines during this, you know, 7 week or whatever, like, super fun time with Death Triangle. So yeah,
it'll be so fun. And it was so gratifying too that there were a fuck CM Punk chants too, I guess. Did you guys see on Twitter that, like, apparently Jersey has always hated CM Punk?
I did see that.
So I was like very interested.
I mean, Jersey is for haters, so that doesn't surprise me at all that they were like, oh, you all like this? Well, I don't.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens next week in Chicago, but yeah, I'm crossing my fingers.
I kind of think it'll be fine.
I think it'll be good. Apparently Chicago's, like, selling more now than they were when CM Punk was there, so
good for them.
Love it.
okay, we leave our beautiful elite behind for now. And we get into Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory 3. So we had a one-on-one setup match for this on Dynamite with Anthony Bowens and Swerve Strickland that Swerve won. The Acclaimed got to debut a new music video about Swerve and Keith Lee, which was great. Very fun.
So much fun. Their music videos are just so funny. I really like it.
So funny.
It's like, will they ever top? Leah, you reminded me that
goth
I've forgotten
phase.
Goth
yeah,
phase.
Two grown men going through goth phase. You can't top
maybe
that.
No, like. Maybe no, but they're all pretty good. And then at Full Gear, they had the match. It ended in what I think must be the dissolution of Swerve in Our Glory, because Swerve had to cheat. He couldn't stop himself from cheating. He tried to make Keith Lee join him in tearing off, was it Max Caster's fingers? Yeah. Or with a pair of like bolt cutters or pliers or something. Yeah. Or something. And Keith Lee was like his face was just like, I cannot believe you are doing this. He patted Anthony Bowens on the back and left the match.
It was so powerful. It was a real
was
powerful
great.
Energy.
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah, peace out.
And this was right, or not right after, but I mean, like, there was a little cheating theme going on in the night. So we had the Death Triangle situation where Ray Fenix did the cheating, but then clearly felt bad. Keith Lee was like, no, I won't do it. I'm leaving. And the Acclaimed won. What'd you guys think?
I loved it. It was so much fun.
It was a blast. Mm-hmm.
I really like the Swerve's, like, I don't know, the way that he is a heel I find so compelling, because he does this, like, very, like, smiley, cheerful, like, bravado. And then there's just something in his eyes that is just like, but I will kill you. And I will I will rip off your fingers with a bolt cutter. Like, it's so... The Bleacher Report recap I was reading called him like dangerous. And I was like, literally in the he could kill you way that like a serial killer is, you know, it's very fun.
Yeah. I think it's funny too, because we've like seen these four guys fight a bunch of times, and normally I would be complaining about it, but it's like, I just don't get tired of watching them. But I think they all have like such specific different personalities, and like there's always interesting dynamics going on, which you wouldn't think that these guys would necessarily be like real like long-term storytellers, but I do think that like Keith Lee and Swerve stuff has been like really effectively done.
Remember when Manolo Has Pizzazz told me that they had set their differences behind them, and I was like, if that's the case, crazy. I'll set my brain behind me and die. That's so stupid. But he was wrong. And in fact, they did the whole storyline. I think they paced it really well. Yeah. I think it worked for them to have these three matches and have them like slowly tell the story of that breakdown. It was great. They did a great job, and I loved watching it. And I'm so excited to see what they do with them next, especially because I think that Swerve can be a top singles heel. Like he can, and he
so
would.
Good.
It's nice that I'm like, and you can tell a story. And I would love to watch you tell a story as a heel in the singles division.
Yeah. And I was so impressed with the two of them, because it was like Keith Lee and Swerve, like were like in a lot of wrestling storylines when like a tag team like turns on each other or splits or whatever. It's like, this made no sense and came out of nowhere. But this was like, no, you guys have like really clearly communicated your characters and who they are, and they've been like consistent this whole time, and like it totally made sense. Like, it was just beautifully done, and I think they're both, they're going to be so fun singles.
Even in the road to, like, I thought that they did a really good job where Keith just kept being like, but you don't need to cheat. You're with me.
Yeah.
You're with me, and
I'm the cheat code.
The moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am the moment. Look how beautiful I am.
That was his vibe.
Don't cheat on me, baby.
I was like also really tense when like he had like the plier bolt cutter things and stuff too, and then like Billy Gunn ran in to rescue him. Like, I thought that was pretty effective too. Yeah. I was just like, this had a lot of like energy to it, the whole end of the match.
I know. I was shocked that Billy Gunn didn't come out with them. And then commentary, I think it was Excalibur, I'm not sure, was like, Billy Gunn couldn't be there because he felt too emotional. And I was like, missing it. He didn't want his emotions to distract from the match. And then he was waiting in the wings. He was just keeping an eye on that Swerve Strickland.
He suggested commentary has to say sometimes.
He's just a good father lover. He was just being a good father lover.
I ended up staying up and watching the scrum, and there was also a really sweet moment where like Max Caster was talking and he was saying something about the Acclaimed, and he was like, and Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn is a huge part of this. Billy Gunn is the reason that we're up here. And then he just turned to Tony and he was like, why isn't Billy Gunn here right now? And Tony like got this a little bit of a startled look and was like, oh, well, I just thought like the attention should be on you guys. And Max Caster was like so deadly serious where he was like, Billy Gunn is with us. He loves Billy Gunn.
I love that. I love watching. Oh my God. I love watching the men just clearly love their mentorship. I mean, yeah. It's sweet.
Yeah. And this whole, I'm psyched for the Acclaim to keep the belts too, because I feel like they are just like so over and doing such a great job. Like their title reign has been so much fun that I'm ready for them to keep it like forever. So I'm kind of shocked that Tony is just like letting something organically happen that's fun, but it's great. So
I'm interested to see what's going to happen in the next cycle, because they definitely were setting up some stuff with FTR that they could or could not follow through on. Of course, I don't want them to, but what the next phase of the Acclaimed looks like, because I do think eventually, like, you're going to want to shake them up, and you don't want to like keep doing the exact same thing you've been doing that I've loved, where it's like they're coming out and doing a lot of like, you know, like skits for us and celebrations for us, and less of the wrestling. I feel like that makes it sound like I'm tired of it, and I'm not, but I think that like, I don't know what the next thing that they're going to evolve into is. And I'm so excited to see it. So, and that's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. It is nice to be excitedly anticipating something, like the feeling of, I don't know where we're going, but I have a feeling I'm going to like it. Has been in such short quantities that it's a good feeling.
Yeah,
it's very true.
And I know that we've all said, and many people have said, like we need a reset. We need something different to be happening. And I really do feel like I'm like, they clearly had to scramble in a lot of different ways in this cycle. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. The beat must be sick once again.
Seriously. Did you guys see that Bryce tweeted today and was like, we're back on track or something like that? Like,
no.
Oh, Jeff. I was like, oh, Bryce, we are.
Oh,
thank God.
Bryce. And that is how I felt. I mean, I just had such a nice time watching this pay-per-view. Even the stuff that I didn't care about, I was just like, that's great. I'm getting a snack. That's for
not
someone
mad.
Else.
Yeah.
No
I'm
problem.
Not very, like, it's an ensemble show. Like, sure, other people can enjoy this match I don't care about. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
When you're getting something you like, you can deal.
We can be so benevolent if we're given something.
If I enjoy like 3/4 of it and then a quarter I don't care about, that's fine. It's like when I rabidly hate all of it is when I'm unhappy.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm like, we're really praising ourselves. We're like, look how nice. But I'm like, it's true though. Like, we do understand that
we're here for a good time.
That nothing is for everyone, and everyone isn't going to have your taste, even if your tastes are objectively right and best. So it's like, it's fine. There's stuff that's not for us, and it's fine, but some of the stuff must be for us, or we walk. We walk, Tony.
Tony, we'll walk. We'll walk right out of this ring.
Have we demonstrated that yet? No. But we could at any moment.
You're lucky we started this podcast, Tony.
I know. I'm like, Tony's listening right now. He's like, don't I know it, girls?
Well, to be honest, I'm like, the amount of money that I've personally given Tony Khan, he needs me.
Yeah. How can I financially support that?
I bought 2 more t-shirts last night. So.
Wow. Maybe I'll have to buy a couple t-shirts. Okay, let's talk about, so I put these together because I think that going forward, the storylines will continue to inform each other. So we'll start by talking about Britt and Saraya. So they had their big match. They spent the week before promoing each other. We got a Britt promo that really was like a face promo where she was like, you walked in here and you don't understand, like, you know, what we went through in the pandemic, basically, and what we did for people, and we didn't do nothing, and you need to respect the work I've done and the way I've built this company. And then we also got, I think only Saraya was in the Road to Full Gear talking about her struggles of not knowing if she would wrestle again, but she will wrestle again. And she said something like, I think that's a very like heartwarming, inspirational story or something, where I was like, okay, well, yeah. I think usually you don't say that part. Like, you about just tell the story and you let other people think about that part.
The fact that Britt wasn't in it was very like, they can't keep letting like Britt like be up against Saraya because she just destroys her.
Yeah.
Well, Saraya just can't quite find the right tone. I feel like she keeps like trying to give a face promo that is like very unsympathetic. So
it was so interesting. This is getting a little ahead, but like, so she, in the scrum, she was like, she completely like gave up on kayfabe and she was like, Britt is wonderful. Britt carried me through this whole thing. Britt was explaining to me how to do this. She was like, we weren't doing a face heel thing. We were doing, like, we were both just talking how we really felt about things. And, like, and we both were really, like, you cheer for the person that you want to cheer for because we can't, like, neither of us were sticking to those lines. And then, I don't know, it was just really, she's like, Britt is the hardest working best person in this company. And I was just like, okay, thank you. Nice. That's great. Yeah, so nice thank to hear. You.
That does make me feel much nicer about her right now.
Yeah. That's true. She also, the other thing that she said that I thought was really interesting is she was like, she really helped me after I made a huge mess of my first promo. And I was like,
oh, okay, good.
And I just love the idea of Britt being like, come here.
Right, babe, no. Yeah. Babe, no.
That sweater looks terrible. Let me help you.
Yeah. No, you like to hear about drunk girl in the bathroom behavior. I mean, that is my favorite thing. I like that. I think it was a pretty rough match. I think it was rough.
Well, yeah, I agree. What was interesting to me was that I thought that the story of the match itself was that Saraya was not expecting it to be as hard as it was, that she was struggling, that Britt was beating the shit out of her. She didn't think it was going to be this hard. And she kept looking to her brother for help. And Britt was just bullying her in front of the brother. And it was just, all of it was like just not going the way she wanted to. And then she eventually, through gumption, managed to pull it out at the end. But the thing is that like none of that matched the promos. You know what I mean? Like that was also what Kenny's story was, like the first Kenny return. But that always seemed very intentional.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whereas, like, Saraya giving all those promos of like, I am here to fix things. I am in charge. I am the strongest and most powerful person. And everybody should fall in behind me. And then to give a match where it was like, oh, I have no idea what I'm doing. Was confusing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is, again, like we're getting to that problem of if we have never, there are lots of us, I mean, some of us, there are some of us who've never seen you before and we don't know how you wrestle. So like we don't have an expectation of like, you can be this good, but now I'm seeing you be only this good. Like we don't have that in our minds. With Kenny, we do. Like we've seen Kenny wrestle a lot. Like we know, like at AEW. So it's like when Kenny is being like, I'm telling the story of like, am I back 100%? I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Like, you're not going to know till we get to the final match. Like, we have the context that we need to be like, oh, I see what he's setting up. Like, I know what he can be. Like, we have it all. We don't have any of that with Saraya. So it's like, you can't, if she's, the promos weren't being like, I don't know if I'm good enough. Yes. I don't know if I can still make it in this business. I know how much love I have, but I don't know how much, like, I'll be able to keep up with people who've been here. That would be so much more interesting to me if people came in with that attitude of like, I want to be the best and I want to earn it again. Like I will earn it anytime you want me to prove it. I want to prove it. Like that would be sexier and it would get me on side much better.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so much more of a babyface attitude to take. Like it would work better. I feel like with all the promos leading up to this and then the story in the ring, it's like they kept zagging. It was like they tried something, it was like, oh, that didn't work, so we'll like go this direction instead, and it was just kind of all over the place. And I do feel like the biggest problem was just Saraya acting like this company never existed until she showed up, and like, of course, we've all closely followed her career, where it's like, I feel like at a new promotion you just have to be like, it's a reset, and you can't, like, it's fine to reference other stuff, but you have to at least like exactly what you said, where it's like Kenny's ring rust makes sense as a storyline in a promotion where he was like a huge part of it and then gone mm-hmm. for like almost a year. But it's like, yeah, you haven't been gone from here. So you can make it like I'm coming back to wrestling after 5 years, but like you can't be like, so isn't everyone so excited that I'm finally cleared? It's like, well, I mean, no.
I don't know.
Like, yeah,
I have no idea.
You tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes, I wonder if sometimes when we're talking about like faces and heels, like we do run up, I think it is a slightly gendered issue, honestly, but we run up against this problem of like, there are people who are like, if you're a good guy, like you're always, you're confident and you say you're the best and then you're the best. And I'm like, well, that's not a good guy to right. me. Like someone who stands no. up and is just like, I'm the best and I don't have, and I'm not going to talk to you about my problems. I'm not going to talk to you about my insecurities. I'm never going to let you see me vulnerable. I'm just like a great person who can like do this the best of anybody. I'm like, I don't like that person.
Well, it's yeah. like no one
I don't
likes,
care about that.
No one likes the New York Yankees. You know, it's like the one who person who always wins is not the person that people are on the side of, actually. So it's like
no
weird
one,
to be
no
like.
No one likes the New York. I think in New York they do.
Very
yeah,
small.
Just a
you
rumor.
The rest gets, of the country, though, guys, don't feel good about you.
And gets sniped by Eddie Kingston.
I was listening to, I can't really explain this, but I was listening to one of the old episodes of this podcast this weekend. And at one point I said something and Anne just goes, don't correct me.
Oh, really?
It's so funny. Oh, gosh, we have fun. But you're right. I think you are right about the Yankees. I have heard that most people don't like them. That's right.
And I think Saraya also like took a bad tack with Britt to be like, you're entitled. Like, I think yeah. you could find a way to attack Britt that like made more sense than that. Because
absolutely.
That just doesn't check out really. So
right. Yeah. There are like a million ways you could express like you have worked hard to like, you know, to get where you are, but you think you're the only person who deserves it and you don't want right. to give anybody else the opportunity. Yeah. You know, like, I think there are a lot of ways you could come at Britt totally. Like that, that would really make sense with her characterization.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You want to be the only one who makes it, mm-hmm. whereas right. I want to pull the rest of the girls
yes.
up
totally.
With me.
Yeah.
It's an amazing yeah. angle.
Yeah. yeah. Wow. And we just did it just now.
And yet no one will ever answer our emails when we send them.
They never call us. They
and
never.
That is, it's like that also is, they're never going to get that deeply into it in wrestling, but it's like, that's a really good angle for women because it's a problem that we've talked about a lot. And, you know, it's like that the difference between like women who came up in like lots of industries when they were like the only woman and the way that they learned to basically mm-hmm. be like, there can only that's be true. One woman. So I'll step on everybody else and I'm going to push people down so I can stay up mm-hmm. versus yeah. like, you know, getting to the point where it's like, no, you need to pull other people up with you. Like there should be more of us. We should all yeah. experience success.
And so, honestly, even being like, there's only one women's match a week and you're determined that it's only going to be you. It's like, yeah, like systemically this place is set up for that kind of yeah. attitude. So mm-hmm. yeah.
And maybe that's why they won't do it, because they don't want to draw more attention to that.
Right, yeah.
Well, I do like hearing that scrum stuff. I'm very interested to see what happens going forward. Let's get to Jamie and Tony. So they had their showdown as well. They really went at each other. Jamie did win the still interim women's belt off of Tony Storm. There was interference from Britt and Rebel, but I didn't lead like directly to the pin. So it's kind of like a semi-clean win where you can point to like it may have caused Tony to get to the point where she lost, but Jamie did get the pin on her own. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why whatever. Anyway. So then afterwards, Jamie and Britt were hugging. Jamie didn't seem mad at her in the moment for interfering, which was very interesting to me because I thought that she would be like, let me do it on my own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what'd you guys think?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think it was like a fun vibe. It's another one with like the Acclaimed where I'm like glad that Tony Khan did like give Jamie Hayter the title, because I think like she's just organically like the crowd's really behind her, and like it felt like a very like feel good, like I was excited for her to take it. So it was very fun.
Yeah,
it was a great match too. It was a real banger.
Yeah, it was fun. I thought it was really fun, and they both looked really good.
Okay, the looks were, well, wrestling wise, yes, they both look good. Jamie Hayter's like look for the pay-per-view, I was obsessed with. Like, I lost my mind. I was like, this is perfect. You look perfect. Tony needs a different haircut.
I agree. She needs a different haircut. And also, there was a point where her lipstick started smearing.
It did.
And she did sort of like have like the bad drunk girl at the bar look. Yeah. Where it's like you walk into the bar and you're like, oh, I think I should probably like call somebody.
I think she needs like different makeup in general too, because she always just has like a Barbie doll kind of quality to her.
She does. Look. I mean, now that she is not the champ anymore, she will be experiencing emotional hardship. Like, I would love to see that reflected in she's showing up to work no makeup, just wearing hoodies, being like, what do you want? What do you want from me? My beautiful, perfect, amazing ex-roommate stole my belt from me. Yeah. I have no belt. I have nothing.
I'm clearly in love with. What did she say? It was like, she's like in the promo, it was like, she's beautiful. She's incredible. She's powerful. Something. It was very intense. Yeah.
It was like, babe, you're showing all your cards.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, commentary was saying the craziest thing. Like, they were like worried that people wouldn't know what like being a roommate entails. Or so they were being like, it was during the pandemic. They had to share food. They had to share room.
For months on end. For months on end. Like, yeah, that's a roommate, sure.
Yeah. Most of us have had them at one point or another. It's like they're on the verge of being like, they broke bread together. Like, they shared sacrament together.
It did feel a little bit like, I feel like one time JR said something. It was like maybe about like the Young Bucks and SCU or something, but he was like, these men were close. Like, he held Matt Jackson's child at Christmas. It was just like, yeah, the highest level of friendship for sure.
It's very funny that like commentary does almost always, like, they're like, we know we have to tell the story, so we are going to find stuff that we can say that will tell the story. Sometimes I'm like, did you tell the wrestlers that they should come up with some of that stuff too? Because some of them do not know. I mean, they don't.
I know.
But I thought this was fun. Do you guys have any thoughts on kind of like where we might be heading with the women's division? Leah, you brought us a quote from the Bleacher recap that I think like did make a good point, that was like, we have questions that we want answers to. That's actually new. Like, that's a good step for the women's division.
Yeah. It's really rich and fun. It's exactly what we were saying earlier. Like, I don't know where we're headed, and I'm not mad about that, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. At the scrum, not to keep bringing it up, at the scrum.
No, I'm glad that you watched it and you can tell us.
I was up so late last night for no reason.
you and me both, sister.
For a good reason, but then I was like up after the scrum. Anyways, so someone asked Jamie, and they were like, what are you going to do if your reign starts conflicting with Britt's ambitions? Like, are you going to be ready to fight her? And Jamie was just so funny, where she was just like, yeah, I'll fight her anytime. We don't mind. We originally met because we were fighting. We'll just fight. And that's going to be fine. I think it's going to be like super fine. I'll just punch her in the face a little. It was amazing. Just very cheerful and like, I don't know. Like, obviously I don't think it'll last, but like in the moment she was just like, kind of like, the way like Mox and Danielson are was like how she was presenting it. And I was like, that would be really cool if like they could pull it off. But I'm like, Jamie could. Like, Jamie has that like violence is for fun.
Yeah.
But like, Britt does not. Everything is personal.
Yeah.
And so I don't think she ever could.
Well, that's a great, interesting conflict though to have. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I don't know if I think that fully squares with the presentation that Jamie has had before of like how she feels about like being second fiddle to Britt sometimes, but like it is very rich to explore the space of like, I think we should just like genuinely like want the best for each other, be able to fight each other, like, and be at the top together, and to have like Britt with a little like, but it is my nature, scorpion situation of like, but I don't like seeing that again. And again, you could have set this up better with the Soraya stuff. You could have done a really good setup that's like, you don't just want to be at the top, you want to be alone at the top. And that's a great like problem for Britt to have for years going forward, of being like, what would it mean to want to still want to be the best, but to want to be the best with other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people are really starting to like ask Tony very pointedly whether he's going to strip to Thunder Rosa of the mm-hmm, title yeah. if she doesn't return soon. And if she does, I think like they have to do like the whole tournament again. And so Jamie has to fight for the real belt again.
Oh my
which
God.
Could be
well, they don't
fun.
Have to. They can do whatever they want.
I agree. I like that reminder, Anne. We have given Tony permission to gaslight about this.
Yeah, right. Please you just stop calling it the interim title and it'll be fine.
Just one day. Just one Wednesday. Just pop on and be like, and Jamie Hayter, the women's champion. End of story.
Yeah. How long has it been since Thunder Rosa? Like, it's at least 6 months, right? It was the summer.
I think about.
Yeah. She won it in March and then she... But it was all out
she
was
vacated
scheduled.
It right after Punk did because people were complaining that she only got 30 seconds to say she
was
injured, whereas
close.
Punk got 10
it was
minutes.
After. I just don't know how soon after.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
So
I feel like it was within a couple weeks, but
I think it's okay that we
wrong.
Can't answer this question, ladies. Yeah. No one expects us to.
No, I think it was like it was closer.
It was
to
like
all
June
out,
or July,
though,
right?
Well, because like everybody knew that Thunder Rosa and Tony was scheduled for All Out, though. Like, I think
you're right.
So
you are right. Yeah.
So I want to say it was like late July.
You might. I think. Yeah. That is ringing a bell, Leah. That was it. You brought a good new knowledge
Thank
to
so
the
much.
Table there.
I'm going to get a good grade in podcasting.
because you're right that everyone was expecting. Yeah. Everyone was like, she is going to lose the belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it
that
like
was.
I Googled it and it was August 23rd.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is more reason than I would have said. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that everything since All Out has been a thousand years
it has
or like
felt
a day.
A thousand years. Yeah. Right.
We're deep in the vortex for sure. I mean, I think, again, we've said it before. I think Tony wishes he had never started interim Beltgate 2022. Mm-hmm. It's only, I think in a way he may feel that it cursed him. He may feel that was what caused the problems. And he would be wrong. It wasn't, it was a side
behavior.
Effect. It's not the virus. But I do wish it weren't an interim belt. I do. I think if Thunder Rosa can come back soon, it's a very rich like opportunity because of like her history with Brit and Brit and Jamie stuff. Like you could do some really good storylines. The last thing I heard was that like very recently was her being like, I can walk. So I was like, well, it doesn't really sound like
oh,
you're
no.
going to be back.
Yeah. That sounds like you're a ways away from wrestling then.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. Well, they shared food, they shared room. I'll be thinking about that.
I hope Toni Storm does go into like a sad girl spiral where
Please.
She just becomes like a sad drunk girl all the time. Like that'd be just really good.
If she had like a whole hangman spiral,
yeah,
like come on.
It'd be perfect for her. Oh. She needs a hangman spiral.
And then she could stop doing those weird barrel curls that she does. And so you know what I realized when they were showing all the Full Gear posters. And I was looking at her, like, nodding in those sunglasses. And I was like, where have I seen those sunglasses before? And then I was like, they're the same sunglasses that Chuck Taylor has been wearing for comedy when he comes out for his matches. But Tony is wearing them on purpose. I said, they've got to go. It's like, she looks like she's a Spider-Man villain. Okay, let's talk about, we'll get to the big main event, the moment that was stolen. MJF and Mox. So MJF and Mox had a honestly pretty weird go-home segment on Dynamite. They were the last 10 minutes of the show. They were basically just promoing on each other. I think the firm came out to try and beat Mox up, and then MJF came out to save Mox from the firm, and William Regal was standing by the whole time, observing. Mox forgot which day the PPV was on. Relatable king.
Which weirdly got one of our friends who is not into wrestling whatsoever so interested that she ended up watching the pay-per-view solely on the basis
right.
of the fact
Beautiful.
That she thought it was very cute that Mox forgot what day it was, and MJF, without missing a beat, was like, yeah, it's Saturday.
And you know what? It was an extremely sweet and funny moment where you're just like, Mox is the best. He's not worried at all. He's just like, yeah, sometimes you don't remember things. That's life.
He's like, yeah, I've had some concussions. Don't worry about it.
Well, now I am worried.
I also like very rarely am attracted to MJF, so I just want to call it out as like rare flowers for that man. When he's dressed as Johnny Castle doing mm-hmm. big punches, yeah, I like that.
That
I
was
like that.
You were so right to say that that's what was going on, because immediately it was just like absolutely correct. He is. Where is his baby? Where is baby? And how can he, when will he have the opportunity to prevent someone from putting her in the corner? Yeah, so they got that little segment, and then they had their actual match at Full Gear. They fought. MJF won, not clean, because he is not turning face. He says, "You fucking morons." He is still a heel. So he tried to use his, he was getting, I mean, Mox was kind of like, you know, taking him to town, and he wasn't taking it that seriously, I think. And then he tried to cheat with his diamond ring. Regal came out and was like, "Bad dog, don't use the diamond ring." So he dare. And
he was, I like, that has been in your panties, you can't shove that into another man's face.
There are limits. And so I did love the moment where MJF just threw the ring in a fit of pique. I was like, that's perfect. But then Regal gave MJF his brass knuckles to use to cheat to win the belt from Jon Moxley, and Regal no longer aligned with Jon Moxley. Thoughts?
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
I
think in the moment it didn't entirely add up. You know, I think
no.
Like I was like, why was it bad to cheat with the ring, but not bad to cheat with the Nux? But I've seen like a lot of people that are like really into BCC stuff, kind of like making the case that it's just because Regal wanted to show that he can control MJF, and I was like, well, I don't know that that's what they were trying to do, but yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think I don't know that I'm fully aligned with that internal logic, but I like to have any explanation that's not like, oh, that disgusting diamond ring, you need a pair of manly brass knuckles to cheat. I will say it has never made that much sense that the diamond ring could do that much damage. I do think brass knuckles would be worse. So I don't know. I have no problem with it. I'm like, actually, I think I feel like excited to see what they want Regal to be to MJF and how they want him to guide MJF's story, basically. Because I'm like, MJF doesn't need someone to talk for him. So I think you know kind of what you want Regal to do with him, and I'm interested to find out.
Yes.
I definitely like am pro like Regal turning and working with MJF. I think that's going to be like a really fun combo. I super hated the execution. I just thought it like made no sense. Like it felt like Regal's internal logic like didn't stand up. I felt like with like Keith Lee and Swerve like totally making sense, I was like kind of disappointed in it. And I think honestly, like I'm just kind of over MJF lately. So like the whole thing, I was just like, oh, this is stupid and I hate it. So I don't know. I'm glad definitely. He didn't turn face. Like I'd rather have him be heel, but
yeah. I'm definitely not over MJF. Like I
know
I still find him very, very compelling. Unfortunately, because I would rather be over him, but no, I'm still very into it. I think
he's been really boring this cycle to me. It just feels like it's been really repetitive and not very like.
Why the Regal stuff I think is interesting to me, because like, all he's been doing is referencing Punk, you know what I mean? Since Punk left, the only thing he has been doing is doing little callbacks, and I'm like, you need a new mentor, you need a new like person to have like to bounce off of, and Regal is that person, you know? And like Alex said, I do think it's right that's like it's gonna whatever MJF wants from Regal, it's gonna be like good. Like he's gonna know what to ask for. So
Even if he doesn't, I'm like, Regal is one of the few people that I'm like, Regal could want something that MJF doesn't understand. Mm. Like, and that is an interesting tension, because I feel like that is part of what was good about like his situation with Punk, was it's like, you are not used to being in this kind of like mirror thing with somebody where it's like the desires align, but I don't even know what I'm saying, but I don't think so. It's like Regal can't be MJF's like, you know, psychosexual hands against the mirror, like nemesis, the way that Punk was. But I think he is going to bring something new. He's going to bring new stuff out of MJF, and somebody has to And like, because MJF as champ has to be different and become different than mm-hmm. MJF who was chasing the belt. And so I think like, I do kind of take your point, Anne, that like, it has been, it has felt like a little bit of a rut, especially this cycle, especially because he was reusing like a lot of material that clearly he meant to use with Punk. And he just kind of repurposed it, which is like, fine, it is whatever. But it'll just be interesting to see like, well, how is he going to connect with people or like clash with people now that he's the champ, and who are they going to put up against him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, agree that the Regal thing, like, hopefully is, like, a good reboot. I think it's just, for me, like, the kind of thing where it's, like, he hasn't been doing anything real interesting or real new, and then he gets so much time in the show. Like, I think it'd probably be a little bit better to use him slightly more sparingly, so I don't get so, like, yes, I've heard you're, like, a once-in-a-generation talent, like, five times this week already. Like, let's move it along. So hopefully, like, it will reboot it.
Got to cut some of those phrases, because if I hear just the word generational one more time, baby, please don't say it to me anymore. Mommy need break now. Mommy need break from generational talent. She can't hear it anymore. I think ultimately we're all aligned on wanting to see something different, and I think that we're going to get it. What are the implications for Blackpool Combat Club now that they have been betrayed by, it's like he threw all of the whole litter of puppies in the river. He said, I don't want any of these children anymore. I trade them all in for MJF.
That video after the pay-per-view ended, someone from the crowd got of Claudio Danielson and Yuta coming out and Claudio telling Mox what happened was fascinating. It was like a masterclass in acting, actually, for so all of them, because you could hear nothing, but you just heard Claudio calmly and like unflinchingly just deliver the news, and then Mox like went through like the seven stages of grief and then just started throwing his body against the ring, and then he hit acceptance and he hauled himself to his feet and he grabbed Yuta around the neck and kissed his little head and held his family and said, I'll never do that. I will break this cycle. I will be the father that our father was not to us. Yeah. And it was just so like, I was like, this is acting.
I know, it really was so good. Like, you can see how these guys are all like real like physical actors, where it's like, gosh, you gotta be able to project things with just your body. And like, their body language was very like, when Bryan Danielson was kind of kneeling down and like putting his hand on Mox, like they all just kind of look like grieving orphans a little bit. Like, we've all just been thrown out with the trash here, and here we are. We've got to make our own way in the world.
What are we going to do?
And I like that they all were like, well, if he betrayed Mox, like, none of us are going to be with that guy anymore. You betray Mox, you betray all of us.
Yeah, I did really enjoy that there was just no sense that any of them would follow Regal, which I am like, yeah, that's because Mox is their mom, actually. Yeah, like,
that's right.
Even Bryan Danielson, who like has his own little agenda. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, with Danielson, I think it would be much more like ambiguous, where you're like, oh, like, He could turn out, maybe, but like, not the way that he was holding Mox.
I listened to Bryan Danielson on Renee's podcast this past week, and it was so interesting. At one point, they like ask about like, you know, the promo where basically like he pitched to Mox, like, what if we got married and adopted a bunch of sons kind of thing. Yeah. And apparently it was just like, they were supposed to fight and they were like, well, we could like do this. And then Danielson was like, I think it'd be more interesting if I like made a pitch to you, like I was going to join you. And then like, you rejected it and we fought. And so he went out there and gave that promo. And then afterwards Mox was like, yeah, that was like pretty convincing. And then they teamed up. Like, he talked him into it for real, basically.
Well, that's amazing. So sweet, especially now that Mox has like officially taken on a bigger role, like in terms of mentorship. So it's like, I like the idea that it's like, especially like, Mox is a new father, and it's like, he just triggered something in him that's like, yes, the children do need guidance. They need mentorship.
Gotta adopt some of them.
Well, I'm excited to see where all of this goes. Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. Oh, go ahead,
Larry. Yeah, I think between this and like the dissension between Sammy and Jericho, I'm really hoping that this is the end of the BCC and JAS matches, and maybe the two giant factions can just implode.
Fate.
And
just, nice. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I really want them to get, like, Eddie back. Like, what's Eddie's relationship to the Blackpool Combat Club at this point, you know?
He's
like,
I don't know. Eddie I was know. Doing that thing where he was like, I'm depressed. I'm out of control. I'm lashing out. I have no center anymore. And then he, like, got his dream match. And I would not be surprised if he was like, mental health fixed now.
Hey guys, I'm back. I'm up again. It's interesting because, a lot of people have been saying, like, that with MJF as champ, like, and the crowd's cheering for him a lot, even though he is a heel. Although I think part of what's going on with, like, him and Regal getting together is, like, to try and, like, I think they are going to, if MJF really wants to and he has the help, like, I think he can make people boo him to a certain degree if he works at it.
Yeah.
I saw, like, a comment that I really, really liked on Twitter that was, like, to be a heel, you need to, like, identify what the crowd wants and take it away from them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's really interesting. I think that, like, it's clear that, like, he has been, I think someone put it as flirting with the crowds a lot while being a heel, and there would be ways for him to stop doing that. So it'll be interesting. But people have been saying, you know, like, they have to be careful who they put up against him, basically, because he can, you know, there's a lot of people who are, like, medium good baby faces. He would eat them alive.
Yeah.
And Eddie is one of those people who could go up against him and obviously would just, easily, like, they would just verbally spar in a really exciting way. So it'll be interesting.
I just remembered Jeff saw MJF at some indie show, like, a long time ago, and he said he was, like, doing his heel thing and, like, being really mean to people. So so Jeff, like, wanted to go up and, like, buy some merch and stuff, but didn't because he was too scared of what MJF would say to him, which I thought was extremely funny.
Yeah. And he has been pulling punches for the past few months because he's been flirting with the face. It's like with the FaceTime, with the face turn. But, like, it has been clear that he's been like, oh, I'm mean, but it's fun, isn't it? Like, he could be mean in ways that would not be that fun.
I think
he could.
Absolutely. Well, so with that in mind, like, okay, so the Eliminator tournament, I think we're going to, that's on our off week, so we're not going to talk about it, but it's Ethan Page versus Ricky Stark, and whoever the winner of that is, it's going to be MJF's first feud. I don't know which one of them, like, would be bet, like, I don't know if Ethan kind of has the energy, but it's kind of a too similar energy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about Ricky.
I think Ricky could probably go up against, like, it definitely feels more like at least it would be a different energy, and Ricky Starks can usually hold his own.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a weird,
you know, they obviously have set up. I know that, like, it's like, you know, Meltzer has been saying for weeks that it's, like, going to be Ethan Page, obviously, because of the way that they set it up with the firm and everything. I kind of think that Ricky Starks would be a much more interesting person for him to spar with. Yeah. Like, I actually can see Ricky being so good at being, like, unflappable bitch up against MJF.
If he can hold it, like, there would be a rich vein there because, like, Ricky's always been bitter that he's not considered one of the four pillars, that when MJF named the pillars, he didn't include Ricky. And so it would be a really interesting vein to say, like, you, all you do is complain when I haven't gotten half the screen time that you've gotten, and I've made more of it than you've ever had, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
totally. And it's hard to think about how MJF would insult Ricky in a way that would actually bother Ricky, like, which is kind of pleasant to think about. Like,
I like the idea of MJF, like, trying to kind of crack the psychological nut and struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And the Nutcracker's teeth break instead. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to move on. Let's talk about JB and Luchasaurus. So this was the steel cage match that opened Full Gear. It was so fucking fun. This was a blast.
I was so surprised
that it opened. I was like, oh, we're, like, starting with this. But then it was, like, such a banger. It was such a good time.
I love that it opened. I actually, because I had been, I didn't want to wait all night for the Elite. But I wasn't prepared for them to be the first match, which, like, I had seen people speculating that it could be the case. Even after, like, the buy-in, I was just like, I'm too stressed. I can't have it be the first thing that happens to me. Like, I need someone to really get me in the mood first. And this fully did that. I was like, this was a blast. I had a great time. I loved everything about it. And then I got the Elite. Like, to me, it was a perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was great. I was having such a good time. especially in the, I mean, the whole pay-per-view, I was having a good time, but I wasn't tired yet at this point. Like, I was having so much fun. Yeah.
Lively, happy. JB did that half-up hair.
Ooh,
that looked
it looks so good.
Uh-huh. And he needs to talk to some guys like Danielson and Wardlow about the hair tie that he was using and his whole, like, how he put the hair up. Even Matt Jackson, but he shouldn't because I love when Matt's hair comes loose. But some people it looks sillier on. He should talk to them because it held up the whole time. So
yeah, it really did, which is impressive because his hair seems pretty, you know, thick and... Yeah.
And I want to dive back in and say, please don't talk to Matt Jackson about that, actually. I mean, Matt's hair, please just let Matt's hair do what it does. Okay, so I'll just correct myself on that. Don't talk to him, ever. Ever.
Producer Marjorie, cut that first.
We know you're listening.
Do not talk to my boy.
No, I love it when the long-haired men explore the hair space, you know, mm-hmm. do a little half mm-hmm. up, do a little fun cheerleader hairstyle. Like, it's beautiful. Yeah. And I love that his mom and sister have the exact same hair, so you can always pick them out of the crowd.
Always.
It's A+.
They looked genuinely afraid at parts of this match, which really, to me, added to it. Like, it didn't look like they were, like, kayfabe at all. Like, they were, like, holding each other and being like, Jesus Christ.
Well, like, so if my little brother jumped off the top of, like, a second-story steel cage, I wouldn't feel great about it either. Yeah. I would be like, I don't think this is worth it. Like, you could get an office job.
Did you guys love, so commentary was telling us the whole story of like how JB and Luchasaurus met at wrestling school. JB was just a little baby, like, but he was in the adult class and like, you know, they went through the whole thing. They were like, we'll paint the full picture of these men's lives for you. I said, thank you. I love it. Thank you. Give me more. But then also at one point they were like, and you really have to wonder how this has all affected, you know, JB's mom and sister's relationship to Luchasaurus. And I was like, do you? It's not my first, not the first thing that I would worry about, but they really were like, we will go so hard on the personal component. And in doing so, we will say things that do not make sense.
I think between this one and the Jamie Tony one, it was like, these men on commentary, they're spinning a tale. They're like writing romance novels here. Like, it's beautiful. Like,
I love it. I just think like they should be, they need to talk to the wrestlers sometimes and be like, you know, you should be doing some of this. But JB did a lot of it. I'm not saying he didn't. I think that this feud was very well set up and it paid off really well. I know that JB in the scrum was saying like, he was kind of like, well, it's not, you know, I will fight Christian someday, which I love to have that kind of, you know, lurking. But he's really on a journey to manhood, as JR loves to point out.
He bled so good.
Did you hear in the scrum that they asked him about like the whole wrestling school story? And he dropped a factoid that has thus far been left out, which is that another member of that class who was there that day, Miro.
Yes, I
Miro
did
was
him
there.
Say that.
Oh my god!
And I wasn't sure if I had misheard.
Yeah, wow, so it was amazing. Miro, Luchasaurus, and a 10-year-old Jungle Boy.
And then JB clearly had some, you know, he'd had some coaching about, okay, this is how you're going to be strong boy. And he said, and I was better than everyone. And it like, looked so clear. Like, he was just like, that's what they said. They said, you have to express, you're the champ, and you're good at what you do. So you tell them, I was better than everyone, even though it was Miro and Luchasaurus. It's so funny. Love him.
Jungle Boy in that scrum was making me lose it because he was just as empty-headed as we've always said that he was. And, like, he was, like, eating pancakes at one part. And people were like, this was Jungle Boy's answer to CM Punk. Jungle Boy was making commentary. And I was like, he was not.
No, he was hungry. Stupid.
I think it is possible that Jungle Boy said to whoever was running the scrum, can I eat this out there? And they said, that's going to be really funny. Yes. But at no point was Jungle Boy putting a shot across the bow or anything.
It is quite sweet to think about JB leaving, realizing like, oh, that was a little bit of a joke, and looking so injured and being like, why you let me do that? Why didn't you tell me? And everyone's just like, because it was funny.
It was very funny.
Why you let me? Yeah, that was great. And any other thoughts about this? Mm-mm. Happy.
Not really. It was just great.
Pure feel-good fun. I, you know what? I do think
he bled great too. He looked very cool with the blood on his face.
And he's clearly so proud of it. He didn't wash it off for the scrub. He did that whole scrub so covered in blood because he was like, look at me.
Yeah. Which is also a little CM Punk reference that he probably wasn't.
He probably went over his head.
Can I eat pancakes out there and do I have to clean the blood off? And everyone was like, nope, get out there.
You see all the tweets that were like, I'm young, I'm not sore, and I work with dinosaurs.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, love you, baby. I'm so excited to see what he gets up to. I'm excited for a lot of things. I'm excited for a lot. I'm excited.
A new fresh feeling. It feels so...
Thank goodness. As we head into the Christmas season. Okay. We'll quickly talk about some of the opener, the buy-in stuff. So Eddie and Ortiz had a... tag team match with, is it Jun Akiyama and Takeshita, who is now All Elite and is moving to America.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So sweet.
There were so many Cinnabon signs in the crowd that day. Everyone loves Takeshita.
Just a perfect boy. I cannot wait to see what he get up to. But so they had a tag team match, and Jun Akiyama is like, Eddie was like, this is my dream match. This is a guy who made me love wrestling. So then they got a one-on-one for the buy-in, and it was emotional. It was the men slapped each other. They hit each other. They loved each other. They respected each other. I mean, it's like everything you want. It's simple. Simpy dimpy good.
All I want is like a sexy man like Eddie Kingston to come out crying because he's just like,
he's just so happy. You know what? Some of these fucking dream matches that the men are always so excited about, I'm like, if you cried a little bit when you were telling me about it, maybe I'd support you. Like, maybe I'd be like, okay, fine, you may have it. Like, Eddie made me want this for him, so sure.
I think, I don't remember which of us said it. It might have been Anne. Well, no, it was one of you, I think, who was just like, we all have dreams, like, but they can't always come true, about men being like, how can I not get my dream match that I want from Tony Khan? We all have dreams. They don't always come true. But it is true that, like, when Eddie has a dream and he sells you on it and is like, with my whole heart, like, I must fight because I must feel the mutual respect of men after the fight is over, whoever wins, whoever loses. Yeah, then I'm like, he must have his dream. Like, Tony.
He must have it.
He must have it.
He can have anything he wants.
Give it to him, Tony.
Eddie clearly never believes he's going to get anything nice either, is the thing. It's like, that's why he's teary, is because he, like, never thought this would happen, and he still didn't. And I don't know, he's still, you know, pie-faced and Sammy and kind of sabotage himself backstage, but he's still, we all love him so much, though.
We love him so much.
He sank to his knees to cry and bow. Mm-hmm.
I know.
And they bow to each other. They shake each other's hands. They touch each other's bodies. I mean, it's simple pleasure. For those watching, it is a simple pleasure to watch a man. And it's like, I think Eddie is really good at doing something, but just because I think it's real, where it's like, it is a combination of humbleness and also like, but I'm here and I'm going for it. Confident. You know what I mean? Like, it's everything. It's not like the kind of like, oh no, I couldn't possibly. It's like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. But yes, I'm here 1000% because I never do anything less than 1000%. And it's kiss me on the mouth. Good stuff.
It's honestly like, you know, on 30 Rock when Jack Donaghy is talking to Pete and he's like, there are men who are like really confident. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, which is nothing left to lose. And like, I really needed to push you to that. I feel like Eddie's at the nothing left to lose end of the spectrum, but it's so compelling.
It's so good.
It made me happy. It made me happy to see.
And I really liked him at the end. He gave that little speech where he was like talking about like the pillars that meant a lot to him and blah, blah, blah. And then he just started like vaguely sort of selling the pay-per-view. And then he like was like, all right, well, I've got to stop talking. And it cut back to commentary. And Excalibur was like, why am I doing this? Like, give Eddie back the mic. He can sell the matches.
That little speech was intense was because he was like literally crying. And then he went into the speech that was like so funny and like so so good at selling the matches. I was like, I want to watch everything you're telling me about. It's like, Eddie, it is crazy that they are not giving you 15 minutes to talk in every episode of Dynamite. Cause like, my God.
I know. And I think he's like, well, I don't want to talk for 15 minutes every episode of Dynamite. No thanks.
But don't you think like if they had like a special segment towards the end where instead of Excalibur doing like a crazy speed run through the Rampage matches. They just gave Eddie the mic and Eddie had to sell the Rampage matches to you. Don't you think you'd be much more likely to watch Rampage?
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Yes.
Yeah. He could tell
me why I should watch for sure. He did. It was a great little speech from him. Okay. Let's talk about best friends and OC and Danhausen. And was Rocky there? No.
Yes, Rocky was there.
Oh, I see. Okay. They also had a little buy-in match against the Factory, who do exist. They continue to exist. And Cole Carter is there. And Cole Carter was there. And Nick Camarado was there.
All your faves. The crowd loves them.
They had a little 10-man tag with, like, the setup that they didn't name that Danhausen was going to be one of the guys. It was just, like, a very evil man. So, I see speaking.
The promo for this was so funny because all that was visible was Chuck, Trent, and OC. And he was like, we're going to do a 5-man tag.
Like the five of us are going to fight the five
of you. And QT Marshall's like, there's only three of you. And then like, someone reaches behind, picks up Rocky by the scruff and pulls him forward. It's like, Rocky's here. And he's like, okay, well, that's four. And they were like, there's a mysterious situation, and then like, or whatever they said, and then everybody walks off screen, and then like they just played like the craziest Danhausen thing where they were like, Danhausen's lost his mind,
and it was so obviously Danhausen. They were like, it's a surprise,
it's a mysterious, what was it, a mysterious, very evil, very nice opponent or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
so funny. Yeah.
Delightful. They have good times.
Also, Orange Cassidy is talking a lot more in these promos, and he's like challenging people to match. Like he's walking up and being like, "I want to fight you now," which is like it's a new little bit from him, and I like it.
I guess I didn't see this promo, so I shouldn't speak. But I was like, I like that sometimes his version of "I want to fight you" is "Do you want this?" Yeah. He's been doing that a lot with the belt. Do you want this? Great.
Yeah, he does like just wander up to people and it's like, Tony told me I gotta fight somebody today. You wanna?
Right. Like a little bit of a vibe of like, I asked a couple other people, but they didn't seem that interested. So. They said they already have a belt. Yeah, but I thought this was a very fun. I mean, it's like, I like, you know, when best friends are in the buy-in and they get to do their comedy stuff. And I know that that Dustin's back there being like, didn't have to work too hard. Great payday. Daddy's happy.
It was very fun. Getting to see him wrestle was so exciting. I was like, oh, he's in the match. Like,
he
bestirred himself.
Wow.
He did bestir himself. He did a little wrestling.
Yeah. And the structure of this one was good, too, because they, like, wrestled for quite a while without Danhausen coming out so that you did kind of forget that there was, like, a surprise. So it was very fun when he finally did come out.
Yeah.
And the fact that there was a very hearty teeth chant.
The teeth were, that was pretty nasty, gross. I mean, I know they're fake teeth. To be clear, I know they're fake teeth. I know they're not real teeth, but I was like, wow.
It wouldn't surprise me if Danhausen was collecting real teeth for people. Or he's the tooth fairy on his off days. You know?
Maybe it's just that it's like when during matches, people do lose teeth and they fly out of the ring, they get swept under the ring into his office and they collect there in a little bone pile.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that AEW games stream where it was like Danhausen and Adam Cole, and Danhausen just at one point turns to Adam Cole and was like, can you tell Britt I need more teeth? And Adam Cole's like, what? And Danhausen goes, she gets me teeth from her office. Tell her I need more. And then he like turns away and like starts talking to somebody else. And Adam Cole looks into the camera and just mouths, what the fuck?
I love that.
That's delightful.
No, I had not seen that. This was good. Oh, and then later in the show, after Chris Jericho had retained his ROH title, OC came out to challenge him to a match on behalf of Ishii. And then after Chris Jericho left and OC was still there and Jake Hager was there in his beautiful purple bucket hat, he was like, do you want this belt? So he's going to fight Jake Hager, which is crazy, but
our friend Caroline is entirely correct. It should be a belt versus hat match where like, because I feel like Jake Hager feels as strongly about that hat as anyone would feel about a belt.
Absolutely. He has latched onto the hat so strongly. Like he's like, this has brought something out in me that I didn't know existed. Yeah. It's made people see me differently.
Yeah. Like, did you ever do a thing in like high school where like the first day of school, you had like an outfit planned, and like the whole like month beforehand, you're like, this has become my new personality. I know that this outfit is going to change everything.
Leah, except, this happened to me last year. I mean, literally, I bought a pair of shoes at Buffalo Exchange and started saying, these are my whole new personality to people. And I still wear them, and they are my personality. So go on. But yes.
No, that was just where Jake Hager is like, I know that this bucket hat is going to like do things for me. And you know what? It has. He's not wrong.
No.
No.
He's 1,000 times more delightful. And he was so funny in this promo when he was just like, yeah, it's a nice hat.
Don't you feel a little bit like it is that like the hat is kind of like, he's like, the hat is making me like a cooler, funner guy. And that Chris Jericho privately is like, that's not the hat, Jake. It's you. It's you, but you're free to be yourself when the hat is on. And he's like, I won't tell him yet.
Is there a children's book where like a kid like finds something that they think is magical and then everything starts going right for them and they're like, it's because of my lucky whatever, but it's not, it wasn't that, it was
there
believing in themselves.
Is.
There was a plot line of one of the Harry Potter books where he like took the potion, like Harry told Ron that he took the special potion.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. There also was recently an episode of Bob's Burgers that was about someone who has always been wearing this pair of ears and is like, who will I be if I don't wear the ears anymore? Well, that's been a good digression for us. Jake, I'll love you forever, with or without the hat now.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to see OC and Jake Hager fight each other because they are the same man, but one of them has been inflated more than the other.
It is true, and I forget about it a lot. Then I see them together, and I'm like, wow, they took my boy and they blew him up big.
They made him big. I also really liked when Chris Jericho was like, you still owe me money for that jacket.
Yeah, that was very funny. That's long-term storytelling.
Two years later... Jericho's a pro.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Okay, we have been on for a long time. We don't have anything that we're like crazy to talk about. So is there anything in here that you want to actually discuss, or do you just want to run down the rest of the results?
Yeah. You don't even have to.
You don't want to give them the results? Where will they get them? Where are they going to get the results? They don't get them from us.
As everyone's top news
podcast. I'm actually a little staggered and confused. So we don't tell them the results. Okay. The only thing that I do want to talk about then is, give Darby a real feud in the next cycle. I hope House of Black coming back. Well, they already feuded, so I don't really want them to pick it up again, but I'm kind of like, they dropped a thread, so maybe there would be something there to kick something off. They got to do something.
Bring Miro back.
I agree.
Where is Miro?
And he also was caught in the dropped thread House of Black feud. So
yeah. I don't like during the scrum, they asked about Miro and they were like, where is Miro and Andrade? And Tony was like, I'm like trying to like do a thing where like I have such a big roster that like sometimes people are here and sometimes they're not here. And with the two people that you mentioned, there's like different reasons in both of those cases. But like, I think that's just going to be the situation. Sometimes you see people. And I was like, okay, well, that didn't answer anything. Where's
Miro?
That's
interesting.
It brought up more questions than it answered, yeah.
It's interesting to me that Miro, I'm about to say something so crazy that it's like, I shouldn't even say it on this podcast, that Lana has said, keeps being like, yeah, I would like to wrestle. I'd love to wrestle again. And Miro isn't wrestling. And now I have a private conspiracy theory that I'm like, Miro keeps being like, you will bring my wife to AEW to wrestle. And Tony's like, no, I don't want to.
And Miro's like, I'm on strike until my wife,
and that is the disagreement that they're having, is that he's like, I will not be bringing her.
I love that theory. Immediately onboarded. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a misinformation campaign that I'm running now. The only other thing I wanted to say is that Samoa Joe did win the big meat slapping meat men match for men, meat for meat men, the meat men match for men. Samoa Joe won, and so he has Wardlow's TNT title now. He has two titles. And afterwards, they did a little like backstage promo where someone was like, Wardlow, how do you feel about losing your title? And Wardlow did like was in rage mode and was like, you're not gonna know what to do with the Wardlow you meet. Like, you haven't seen who Wardlow is. And I was like, yes, I have. He's an enraged sex maniac. He has been this whole time. There's nothing new you can tell me here. And I didn't understand, like, and we also got that Samoa Joe promo where he actually was like yelling and being like, you disrespected me, Wardlow, so I don't respect you. I don't know what he said, but mm-hmm. I was like, are any of these men faces or heels, or they're just men, and it's inherently just like men. You know, its own whole category a little bit. Like,
there's faces, there's heels, there's men.
There's the meat men. It's almost like if you get like too big, like you can't actually be like, they can't actually be categorized. They're just like, you know, just they because, just feel their emotions.
Because the effects of the steroids have become so pronounced.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just feel their emotions because they're, I'll say no more. Interesting. Well, we'll see what happens.
It was crazy. I like literally had kind of forgotten about the TNT title. Like, Wardlow's had it this whole time. Like, who remembers that one of those exists? Like, and it was so much fun when Miro had the title and when Darby had the TNT title, and it's been nothing.
Yeah, there were good TNT title reigns, and then there was Sammy, and it's been downhill ever since. Can you believe that Sammy Guevara got to beat Miro for that title?
That's like so he had
repulsive stuff. I was trying to remember the lineage last night when we were talking about it. Cody had it twice, Sammy had it twice, and Scorpio had it twice. Yeah. Right? Like,
but some of those twices were like so close together, like a week apart.
Yeah, like I think like Scorpio got. Did it go like Cody, Sammy, Scorpio, Sammy, Scorpio, Wardlow? Like, it was like fuck, something so fucking crazy.
No, because
that belt got cursed somewhere in there. Yeah. Like, the first time Sammy fucked on that belt, it was like all over for the
Wardlow.
Belt.
God, you're right. Scorpio, it's been desecrated. Right?
They have to burn the belt. They need a new belt.
They need a new belt.
Yeah.
They need a brand new belt.
There must be a cleansing fire.
A cleansing fire. It's like how the world title like won't let someone, like it rejected Punk every time he took it. Now the TNT, I think, is kind of the opposite now.
It's like on the fritz. Like it's not, like it's just like, I can't determine anymore. Mm. Static.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
It's not good.
I miss you. I miss you, Darby. I miss you, Miro. I miss all my boys I ain't seen. I hope I see some boys that I like. I miss you, Adam Cole. I miss you, Hangman. I don't miss my Elite anymore because I have them back.
We're slowly gathering our boys back to us.
I know. Bringing their boys. We're going to watch BTE tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Wow. For BTE to be... And I was worried that they were going to be like, BTE is over forever.
I know, because like it's got to be a certain amount of work, and like at this point they don't need it. You know what I mean? Like it's they get other people over using it, but like they don't need it. And so I did have this thing. Brandon, where I was like,
Brandon's doing the bulk.
Brandon's
of the
work, like, though, so I got two contracts for a reason.
Contract, Brandon.
I know. Brandon was like, I actually like that money. I like my BTE money.
That is probably why they keep doing it. Just so Brandon has another paycheck.
I mean, they must. It's like it is. They could do without it, but it is a really helpful thing for their storytelling. It is one of the reasons that their storytelling, like to like us newbies, we were like, oh, we get what's going on. It's because we can watch your little web show where you do just 3 minutes of extra promoing a week that tells us like, oh, okay, that's what's happening.
All those other idiots with vlogs like should take a lesson. It's like you can do supplemental kayfabe stuff there and people will like it.
If they were doing it, would we notice? Because there was a point where there was like 6 or 7 new blogs a week and I was like, I wouldn't be watching that.
If Ethan Page's vlog had been like storytelling and not like going to toy stores every day, I probably would have watched it.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, and you know what else we have to look forward to?
What?
I think maybe Matt Hardy and Private Party will be back on BTE.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you don't need cranberry juice anymore. You've got your antibiotics.
Well, once you learn to love the taste.
Once you learn to love a little cranberry and vodka in the morning, you keep going.
I'm pretty concerned about what's going on with you.
Actually, I don't think anyone should worry about it. It's actually really normal. It's actually
fine.
Don't
worry
about it.
But I'm rolling it back because I need to talk to her about her drinking habits, but... I'm excited to see them, to be honest. I'm excited to see everybody on BTE. I'm excited to see all my BTE friends. I wonder how long it's going to be. I wonder if they're going to have lots of behind the scenes footage. I can't wait to see BTE tomorrow.
What were you saying before this started about how we're not stans the way some people are stans?
No, I didn't say that. I said that I don't want to be. No. I'm not. And I'm just excited to see VTE. And I think that's fine. And what I'm saying is fine. And I'm fine. And I'm fine. And I know that Leah agrees with me. Leah, speak.
I absolutely agree with you, 100%. Yes, of course, I am very eager to see all of my VTE friends. I hope that, like, Ryan Nemeth has, like, a 12-minute segment. I don't understand it. Remember that man Charlie who kept, like, showing up sometimes, and I never understood what he was doing?
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. Oh, all my friends on the screen.
All the glory days of BTS. Oh,
I hope Nyla's in a nun costume for reasons I still never understood.
I didn't ever understood it either, but I'm so happy to see it again if it happens.
Can't wait to see all my friends.
Oh, BTE.
I hope Hangman calls in a segment.
Oh my God, please. Show me the boys. Please.
I feel that our pod has been, like, considering how sad we've been, I think we've had a fairly upbeat for us. Yeah. But I'm like, gals, we made it. We made it.
I know. Yeah.
It's been a rough fall.
Here, it's just about to be Thanksgiving. Mark the beginning of, you know, holiday season.
We have so much to give thanks for.
Tomorrow we will feast.
I hope it's Thanksgiving themed. I hope so.
What? I think everybody's going to really enjoy this episode.
What if they combined?
Last 10 minutes. Okay, what really if
they.
Valuable.
So, you know, they missed the Halloween episode. Now it's Thanksgiving, but you know what movie they could pay homage to that would combine those things? It's the Addams Family Values.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
You want to do a little fan cast? Wednesday,
play. Oh, my God, for old time's sake. Yeah. Who is everybody?
Yeah,
you're going to need some time, Okay, well, you tell, hey, beloved listeners, and now that you hear us in our joy again, you tell us. You send us the fan cast, and we will discuss it on air.
There you go.
Is everybody happy now? And you've all said everything we need to say. And
so happy.
Sleep tight tonight, and don't let the bed bugs bite.
It's so nice to do a podcast and not feel like Eeyore the whole time. I know.
Only a few little rain clouds, and barely. I'm excited for so much stuff.
I know. Yeah. I can't wait.
It is a really good reset button. I think we're going to get some good stuff coming up here.
Tony, don't squander this goodwill. Do not squander this goodwill, because it's a miracle that you're getting it at all.
I have tickets because they're coming to Kentucky, and it better be good in January.
I can't wait until we come back on December 4th and we're like,
well,
it's gone. MJF did not have us.
ROH, the whole show was just ROH men.
Turns out, actually, you don't have to hand it to him.
I did. I heard Tony was quite defensive about his ROH storylines. Yeah.
Oh my
Scrum.
God, it was so funny, because like the question was like, so you're doing 8 pay-per-views a year, and I don't remember if the guy had actually managed to get the rest of that question out, because Tony was like, actually, to be clear, AEW is only doing 5, and ROH is doing 3, and they're actually very different. They're like 3. They're just like different. And so I don't really think with you. You just gotta really think of them very separately, and you're like.
I didn't listen to this, so I shouldn't even speak on it, but it did sound like what he was saying in part. He was like, well, I think the way that we're doing the ROH stuff is good because you see it on the show, and I think it does get people interested in the pay-per-view, but you don't have to watch the pay-per-view to understand what's going on. And I was just like, so I see lots of stuff that leads to nothing because I won't see the nothing that it's leading to. Like, and then I was like, I can't get into this because I'm just praying to God that he does have that TV deal up his
sleeve. He weirdly sounded pretty down on it. He was hoping. And like somebody was like, well, why don't you just do a YouTube show? And he, like, his answer was like, I don't want to lower ROH to a YouTube show. I want them to have a real deal. And although that doesn't seem to be like, his vibe was very much like, still fishing for it, and we're hoping someone's gonna bite.
It's so annoying because like all of my faves are like on Dark and Elevation all the time right now, because the ROH men are on like the real shows, and it's just like, this is such a waste.
We'll another time we'll get deeper into what the actual distinction is, really, because sometimes it's hard to tell, and you they're just all men, but some of them are men and some of them aren't.
Great. So true.
So on that great note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And we experience joy. This is Tunnel Talk. Yeah. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Send us your castings for the Addams Family Values featuring our fave AEW players. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Come back, not next week, or not this Sunday, but the next Sunday of December 4th. The end.